protesters, those who chose to be violent and break the law, breached the Capitol property and the building, and overwhelmed the Capitol police. And we were locked in the chamber as a result. There was tear gas in just down the hall, and they these violent protesters began shaking the doors and chanting "Stop the steal," and it was, I would say, unnerving to say the least. We got updates from the supervisor of the Capitol Police while we were in the chamber, and it just kept escalating. At one point, it would just stay in the chamber and everybody's going to be fine, to nobody move, sit down, to be prepared to get on the floor. I suspect if there was a shootout, and take out the bag underneath the seat so that you can put on a gas mask because of the tear gas. So it escalated quickly. While it seemed like we should be better prepared for something like this, when you have such high tensions and lots of groups here protesting on all sides, I would think you would have been, think we would have had better, a better organized defense against something like this. But the Capitol Police who were there did an excellent job. I mean, they were outnumbered and they were not afraid. They were in control. They were calm and they were resolved, you could tell, which gave us as members, you know, confidence that everything would be okay at the end of the day. Then they escorted us all out of the chamber. We went down through the tunnel system and under the street, under Pennsylvania Avenue, and or Independence Avenue rather, and we, most members got into one area, one office, and then some went to their own offices, but we were basically sheltering in place at the Longworth House office building.
You said it was disconcerting to say the least. Did you feel safe or did you feel unsafe as the tension was escalating and the activities were getting louder?
I don't think a single person in that chamber felt safe. I mean, there were thousands of people outside, and, you know, people could make that determination by looking at their phones and the media, and they were obviously, we were all still getting text from folks. So you knew that the numbers were pretty great outside of the Capitol. We didn't know how many were in, but it, you know, by the noise and the rattling of the doors, and yeah, I just felt like we were under siege and we were outnumbered. And of course, we don't have firearms. We're not allowed to have firearms. So you have a very vulnerable feeling. And then when they escorted us to a safer place to shelter in, we, you know, it was much less dramatic, but there was a point that was very dramatic.
You tweeted, "Today's violence and lawlessness was completely unacceptable and undermined both peaceful protest and our efforts to voice legitimate objections to this election." Do you feel like this disruption really undermined what you had planned for today? And do you still plan to object?
I do plan to continue with my objection because I feel duty bound to the Constitution and to this institution. This is a peaceful legal process. It's part of our democratic electoral process. And I think it would be wrong to let criminals and thugs steal that moment from the American people. We believe as Americans, and in this the greatest civil society in the history of the world, that peaceful protest is a fundamental right and is part of our democratic process. We also believe in the proceedings of these joint sessions of Congress as part of our democracy. But my basis for my decision was the Constitution and what I believed in some states was a breach of that Constitution when entities outside of the legislature made election law changes. That hasn't changed for me. I still have concerns. I don't believe that this is going to play out in the favor of my objections in these proceedings. And I don't know that even if they were sustained, the outcome of the election, of the presidential election, would change. But my concern is having a terrible precedent out there for future elections. And I think it's incumbent upon members of Congress to ensure the integrity of our election process, because it's the heart of our republic. It is the foundation of this great country's self-governing. So I'm not deterred from allowing this proceeding to play out in full.
You may not read the responses to your tweets. There were a few supportive comments, but there were several that said your rhetoric helped enable the behavior that happened today. What would you say to those critics?
I would say that's unfounded. I would say it's wrong. I would say if you can't debate in this country and object in this country, and if we can't, I mean, remember, Democrats in 2016, including Speaker Pelosi, objected to this President Trump, and they did the very thing that some Republicans are doing today. But the many of the folks that are responding, I guess, to my tweet, I doubt they were condemning Nancy Pelosi and the objections then. Many of them never accepted President Trump as the legitimate president. I think that's a dereliction in their sacred duty as a member of Congress. I won't do that. But so, yeah, I think it's unfortunate that people think that when you take a position and you do the due diligence to determine what you believe is right for the country, and that you have principles based in our founding document to support that position, I think it's unfortunate that they would try to draw a connection to that, which is democracy at work, to use the words of Nancy Pelosi, to what some of these radicals on both sides do in this country. I think it's BS is what I think.
I also wanted to ask you to respond to President Trump's message to the protesters. Did you feel like it was a strong enough message asking them to be peaceful? I mean, he said he loved them.
Well, I don't want to speak for President Trump. His words aren't always helpful in times like this. They're not always productive. I think what he was saying to those who were peacefully protesting, I think those comments were directed to them. I think all leaders from the president down should have the strongest condemnation for those who would break the law and perpetrate violence and destruction. I mean, I've said that since the rioting has happened in Portland and Seattle. I even introduced legislation to increase the penalty for rioting and assaulting police officers. Too few members of Congress during those riots on the Democrat side said anything. And on day one, I'm condemning this. And I wish that all leaders, not just President Trump, would be quick to condemn the actions of what I think are the few on both sides, but they create great chaos and havoc that we shouldn't tolerate. And we should hold them accountable. Those folks who involve themselves in that, we should hold them accountable.
Do you have any concerns about the safety of your chamber or about the inaugurations that are coming up? Are you concerned about further acts of violence like this?
I'm concerned about the tensions in our country on both sides. I'm concerned about the lack of civility in Congress. We should be able to have debate. I mean, let's just take some of the responses to my tweet as an example. I haven't done anything to incite violence. I've simply made a statement about why I'm going to object, rooted in the law and Constitution. That's it. I've even said if I don't prevail, then that this is the end of the line. But you have people out there with very, I'm sure, spewing lots of vitriol on social media, nameless, faceless people who are in their basement doing this, which is stirring up, I think, more dissension among Americans. We got to be able to debate. We've got to be able to debate and be big enough as people and comfortable enough in this system that if you can't win the hearts and minds of your colleagues and of your citizens, then, you know, that's the hard part of democracy. But you don't go burn buildings down and you don't break into the Capitol and you don't assault law enforcement officers. So I think these are tense times for this country. And I think we should be diffusing that attention. And I think we should be doing everything to turn down the temperature. And I think President Trump and all leaders need to be about that. And when we don't, on either side of the aisle and at all levels, it's disappointing and it's unhelpful.
That's the last question that I had for you. Is there anything else you wanted to bring up that I didn't ask you about?
I will say this. You asked if I want to say anything. I want to do things that unify us as a Congress and as a people. I want to show solidarity with my colleagues on the Democrat side of the aisle in both chambers that this, what happened today, was intolerable, unacceptable, and the people involved should be held accountable. And that's how I think we work together on this. These are opportunities. I mean, everybody was, I think, alarmed by what happened today. And I think it's a sobering thing. I think it makes us all, you go from, you know, in your role as a political leader to just being human. And there's something very healthy and good about that. So that's how I want to use this to, like I said, turn the temperature down, et cetera, and diffuse the tensions in this country. But that doesn't mean I'm going to change my positions on policies and on the proceedings that are before us. I don't want to give this group of criminals any more pleasure than any other criminal or rioter that we would stop democracy and the people's business because of what they did. That would be allowing the bad guys to win over the vast majority of the good guys.